Thank you, my brother. Praise God for new beginnings. Amen. Amen. I got one announcement that I feel like I just need to make. There's going to be a visitation for Catherine Kuiper at Osceola Memorial Gardens in Poinciana between 10 and 11 tomorrow morning. And there will be a graveside service at Cape Canaveral National Cemetery at 1 o'clock. If you need information on that, you can call me and I can give you directions or anything that you would like to have. Okay, preacher.
Well, don't get scared. I'll talk about that in a minute. You know, when I got on up in age, I have to have aids to go in the pulpit. Y'all do know that the class of people that catches aids worse than all others, you know who they are? Senior citizens. They have more aids than anybody else. Walking aids. Chewing AIDS, seeing AIDS, just go on and on. All right. I'm doing what Pastor Parsons asked me to do tonight, and that's address the project of the Landmark Museum. And we said a word about it this morning. I'm going to say a little more tonight. I'll answer some questions. Not from you. I'm choosing my own, so I know the answer to them. Amen. I'm not going to let you stump me. But I'll probably leave more questions in your mind. So this is not the end of it. This is kind of the beginning of it. So there'll be a lot more to follow. Amen? I brought this Bible up for a purpose. I'll tell you about it in just a moment. But I want you to open your Bible tonight to the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. The last chapter of Deuteronomy, chapter 34. I want you to look at verses 7 through 9, and then we'll start talking tonight, and it's not going to be a regular type sermon. And we're going to address the subject, and we'll try to before we get through. If you're here and you're unsaved, we'll tell you how to get saved. We always try to do that. That's our purpose. But it says in Deuteronomy 34, verse 7 through 9, and Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded. Now we recognize here in the story that a transition is going to take place between Moses and Joshua. God is bringing new leadership on the scene. But the good part is the ministry keeps going. Amen. Good part is the cause of Christ still goes. Amen. We've had a great transition here in our church, and I feel like God sent Brother Parsons just like Joshua was in place when God was ready to use him. So I'm so thankful for that. We see that setting in Scripture, and we recognize that leadership is important. Fellowship is important. Amen. You need the two together to get the job done. Amen? But you know, it didn't stop with Moses. The ministry kept going. God wasn't through. One of the easiest things we could do as a church is think we've arrived. No, we haven't. Amen. If you read deeper in Joshua, you'll find out even after Joshua got old, God told him there's still much more land to conquer. God hadn't got old. He hadn't got feeble. He didn't have to lay down and quit. He just picked somebody else to take the lead and kept going. Amen. And kept going. And that's exactly, of course, what we've done here at the Lord's Church here at Landmark. I'm going to talk a little bit, as Brother Parsons asked me to do, about our plan for the Landmark Museum. Now, we've had the gauge up for a long time. It grew up pretty good to start with, and then it kind of faltered. And a part of that was because we kind of got stopped. We had some red tape and other stuff get in the way. And plus, the plate of Landmark is always full, always crowded, always more than we can keep up with. And that's been it for so many years. And so we didn't put it before you maybe as much as we should have. But I want you to know that it's still planned to happen. It's still on the list. Amen. We're going to talk about that plan a little bit tonight. And I'm going to ask for a little slack. I'm going to probably cross myself and recross myself. I'm not quite as structured as I'd like to be, but I'll try to look out for the time. But I will be answering some questions. Now, I have some partners that help me when I read. They help me when I preach. They should help you. You ought to know about them. Partners called questions. What? Where? How? When? And why? And we'll try to answer some of those questions a little bit tonight. That'll always help you get the communication across. Amen? Yes, we want a landmark museum. We want it to picture the heritage, but it's a heritage that brags on God because it's a heritage of miracles. It's a heritage of God's leadership and God's grace, and God winning the battles for us from time to time. That's what it's all about, of course. Now, what is it going to be? Well, it'll be somewhat of a memorial, a heritage. And I bought this big Bible in the pulpit tonight. It's called a Bicentennial Bible or a Liberty Bible. It's got the picture of the Liberty Bell on the front. Now, this Bible has a history with us. It commemorates our nation at 200 years. That's 1776, of course. You add the 200 years to it, and this Bible commemorates that back in 76. 76, that don't seem like long ago to me. How many of you were born after 76? Raise your hand. Oh, you just bad shape. You know nothing. All right, I'm joking around with you a little bit, but a lot happened before you were born. Quite a bit happened before you ever came and opened your eyes in this world. Amen? And this Bible is commemorating our nation's 200th birthday, bicentennial. It is a good family Bible. Now, when this Bible came out, it was sold for $50. We ordered several of them. I actually sent a van to load up some and bring to us. And this Bible right now would be worth, what did you say it was worth?
Over 150
now. I'm sure it's more than that probably. It's really good. It's got the pictures of all the presidents in here. Well, maybe except the last one. I said it was a good book. And these are pictures made off the walls of art galleries. I mean, they're not just pictures. I mean, they're authentic, really the best. It's got all the records in it, of course, for children, wife's genealogy, husband, all that. And it's really, really worth having. It's got government documents, Declaration of Independence and Constitution and things like that in it. It's got a lot of helps in it. It's got a lot of history in it. I'm looking at a picture right here with Babe Ruth knocking a home run. Or Lindbergh standing beside his plane he crossed the ocean with. Or Roosevelt declaring war. It's got a lot of history, really worth having. And tonight I chose to go ahead and read the text out of it because this Bible was ours. And we gave it as a gift to the city library here in town. And one of our members discovered they were getting rid of some stuff in there, and of all things, he went in where the Bibles were, and they gave him this one back. So it's made full circle back around to us. It's got the date on it when we gave it to them. If I hit the right page here. Presented to the city of Haines City, February the 2nd, 1976. And you know what's wrong with our country today? We've lost the heritage. We've lost our history. We've lost the truth. And our country is really hurting from it right now. So as we talk about preserving our history and having a heritage museum, folks, that's very important. It's very important. We're going to talk about it here just a little bit. It is a memorial, just like this Bible here is. And Brother Parsons spoke on this a little bit Wednesday night. He used the text about the stones being placed in the Jordan River, where when the kids come along later, they'd say, "What meaneth these stones?" And that was pointing out the power and the miracle of God's leadership on Israel. I want to say we've had children come along, and we got more maybe coming along if Jesus don't come first. And we have an obligation to preserve what God has done and what God has given us to his honor and glory. That's what it's about. God's honor. I don't want to forget what he's done. I don't want others to forget what he's done. God many times in his word tells us not to forget. Not to forget. That's important. It is not about me. I said that this morning. Yes, I had my part. The part God wanted me to have. But God had a plan. And I'm going to cross myself some. This, as Brother Parson said, this church itself was started in 1965. He'll have maybe the exact date on it. In 1965, my brother and I, Harvey and I, had opened up a business here in town, and we were working. I'd been saved. I was serving in the church, in Central Baptist Church in Winter Haven. I was teaching the young married couples class. I knew about this church getting started. I knew Brother Bill Edmondson when I saw him, but not real good. He's the man. He was the pastor that started the church here. And Brother Bill was a good man. He loved the Lord, served the Lord. And I want to say, as I came on the scene, I believe with all my heart, God let me be the answer to many of his prayers as we picked up the mantle here and began to serve the Lord. Now, we want to preserve that kind of memorial. Again, it's not about me. I remember what Mordecai said to Esther. Remember this? He said, "Maybe you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Amen. Maybe God brought me in." He also told her, if you don't try to help, God will raise somebody else up. And I believe with all my heart God does that sometime. Amen. Even one man says no, he has another one that'll step in and get the blessing and get the job done that the first man could have done but didn't. So it's that sort of thing that we want to preserve and want to talk to you a little bit about tonight. The truth of the matter is that we got a lot of memories, many of them. We want to preserve them. I've mentioned this several times because it pops in my mind every time. Brother Pritchard, one of our deacons here, one of the earlier converts after I came here, I won Brother Pritchard to the Lord personally, and he helped me from the very beginning on serve, and others like that. And Brother Pritchard, as he got older, not as old as me, but not far behind me, he kept saying to me in these latter few years, "Preacher, we got to do something before you forget it all." Well, he's right. I have forgot a lot, but a lot of it I still remember. Preacher friend of mine called me not too long ago, and he said, "Let's go out to lunch before they take our driver's license away." I knew what he meant. Yeah, that'll probably happen. Oh, it'll be warfare. I won't give mine up. But anyway, with all joking aside about that, our heritage here is worth preserving. God wants it preserved. I believe that with all my heart. No, it won't be all about me. It'll be about so many and so many here that served and worked alongside of me and with me. And without them, we couldn't have done what we did. And the work has continued on since Brother Parsons has taken over. I've been pleased. You know, he took over as COVID was finally beginning, some folks waking up and using some sense and breaking the hold on them. But I stayed, and many of you don't know this. I was supposed to retire a year earlier because I was hurting. And my wife was hurting. And yet, when the COVID thing came, I purposely worked hard to hold on another year. And I leaned heavy in that year on Brother Parsons. Had God not sent him when he did, I couldn't have probably made that last year as well as we did. And God blessed us through it. And in spite of all the shutdowns and all the problems and all the stuff and all the fear that was developed, our church survived COVID better than most did. Amen. And we stayed open. And we would have gone to jail before we would have closed. Amen. And many of you know this, but as soon as I saw in the news they were closing the churches, I sat down and I wrote a letter to all the folks in power, county authorities, state authorities. And I did not make it hard to understand. I said, Landmark will not close its doors. If you want to put me in jail, you can. But somebody else will step up and take my place the next week. They didn't write me back. They called me back on the phone. And we are thankful for our governor. We are thankful. He come out very quickly after that and said, the church is essential. It is essential. Thank God. And we took that stand and we stayed open and we're not regretting one minute of it. Amen. And I don't believe there's anybody caught it because Landmark stayed open. If anything, it caused a lot of folks to pray and believe God and get us through that thing. And so I'm saying to you, a lot of that is our history. Not only that, but much more. And God did give me grace to make it the last year, but I was leaning very, very hard on Brother Parsons. And God just substantiated in my mind, he is the man. Just like Moses knew Joshua was the man. I knew that he was, and I know that he, I still know that he is. Well, a lot of folks said, Dr. Lee Robertson used to come and preach for us occasionally. And he and I would go out to eat, or we'd be riding sometime to another preacher's meeting together in my car. Yeah, he wasn't afraid to ride with me. He might have felt closer to heaven sometime, but anyway, I remember going to a meeting somewhere over in the Tampa direction one day, and all the way over and all the way back, he kept saying to me, you got to do this. You got to preserve that. You got to repeat that. That's just too much. He said, you got to write a book. Well, I did write a book finally. Not sure whether he was still alive, Brother Scotty, by the time I got it finished or not. That's back there called His Hand Is Real, some of the stories that he wanted preserved. But I'm saying to you, what God has done, others get a benefit and a blessing from it if we share with them. So what are we going to do? We're going to build a landmark memorial museum, and it's going to commemorate what God has done in the ministry of this church. But we're not going to say it's not a closing thing. It's just saying this is what we're going to keep doing. Amen. Keep going. Keep going. So where is it going to be? Well, it's going to be in the old hotel. Now, you know, that's a good setting for a landmark museum. It's a landmark itself, amen? And just like this Bible, I started to tell you a story on this Bible a while ago. I remember when we got it in 76. I remember one night, some of my men and myself, my deacons, we were up here working. We were doing carpenter work at 11:30, almost midnight. And my wife called. No cell phones, kids. The phone was ringing in the school office, and I went in there and answered it. She said, so-and-so, a preacher I knew, has called, and they've put him in jail tonight. And I said, why? She said, I don't know all the details, but they will not let him take his Bible in. Oh, that made my righteous indignation rise. I got a fever real quick. In the church office was this Bible. I didn't have mine with me. It was at home. But I saw it while I was still on the phone. I went and got this Bible. And I picked it up and I went to the jailhouse. Almost midnight by that time. I walked in. Those in charge said, you can't go in. I said, where does the chief live at? Oh, we wouldn't tell you that. I said, I think I can find it. I took this Bible with me. I pulled up in his yard, and he had a couple of watchdogs, trained watchdogs. They didn't bother me. They were scared of me. They could sense how mad I was. I picked this Bible up, got out of the car, and went and knocked on his door hard. He was asleep, but he come to the door. Brother Carter, what is it? I said, in your jailhouse, you've got a preacher. You may not know it, but they put a preacher in jail. By the way, it was not the Haines City police that did it. It was another little city that didn't have a jail around here. Brought him over and put him in the Haines City jail. I said, they took his Bible away. I said, I'm going in there and bring him a Bible tonight. You want to call him? He called them when I got there. They rolled the red carpet out, and I walked right down the hall with this Bible just like this. And I went in there and gave it to him. The next morning, the chief come down, and both of us got him out of jail real quick. What had he done? Well, he was working inside his building, exactly what I was doing when my wife called me. He was working in there, but he didn't go to the city and get a permit. And a half-drunk mayor or somebody else got the local police and come and put the preacher in jail and wouldn't even let him have his Bible. This Bible here is a Liberty Bible. I still believe in that liberty. I still believe we ought to stand up for it. I still believe what was important in the early days is still important today. I remember that night very well. And this Bible has some meaning to me. Has some meaning to me. I remember somebody said, what would you have done if those dogs had attacked? I'd have hit them with a sword. It's the word of God. I think something spoke to those dogs before I ever got to them that night. But the truth of the matter is we got some history. I don't know that that story would go in the museum, and there's probably some others I shouldn't put in there. But we'll have stories. We'll have stuff written. We'll have stuff on recordings. We'll do our best to give God all the glory for it all, of course. In the old hotel, it'll be a good landmark building. You say, where are you going? Well, we're going to, if you've been in there, you know the top floor, you can see all the city from there. You can even see Bock Tower from there. And most folks that go to the place, they want to go up to the top floor. I don't know if it's closer to heaven or not, but they want to go up there. And they want, and we'll have that. But then the floor below that will probably be the museum floor. Now, if we need another floor, by the way, right now it's being used for the girls' dorms and for the radio station. But if we need it, we'll send the girls to camp. Checking them out, see if they got a sense of humor. But we'll take what we need as far as space goes, wherever it's at there, and get the job done for the Lord. We'll take a floor, and probably the first one after the top one. And on that floor, we'll have it rightly divided, sort of like the Word of God. Now, we're going to have some meetings. We're going to have some input. We're going to have some planning. We're very likely to get out here. Brother Parsons will probably get out here with a blackboard and show you the plan after he gets it fully developed. It'll be rightly divided. There'll probably be different rooms or different areas for different things. For instance, we'll have an area maybe about the church. Per se, maybe it's beginning. We'll have a room perhaps for the youth camp, or a room for the buses, or a room for the school, or something else. And we'll, in other words, where you can walk through, and when you get through, you've learned something as you go from one space to another and see the evidence of what has happened through the years and the heritage part of it. Slots, rooms, areas, whatever. That's where we'll put it, in the hotel. And yes, it'll be a lot of work. Somebody says, how are you going to do it? Well, we're mostly going to do it with you or those that will volunteer to work. Amen. We may hire a little bit, but it'll be a hands-on job. It'll be so many of our folks have so much to contribute. And I'm not talking about just dollars. I'm talking about evidence in their own homes and things that have happened and memorabilia that we can use and put up, pictures, recordings. I don't know all we'll do. We're not going to be able to be as elaborate as we first thought because if it involves too much electric stuff, we'd have to get permitted, and we've got enough power up there. We don't need that. We can make it work just like it is. And Brother Parsons had a great idea, and he shared it with us Wednesday night when he said, if we want to get moving, we got to cut this project loose from the two-story building across the street, because the red tape has us tied up to have drawings and all that junk, and it is junk, to get us permitted for all the electrical stuff. Our world anymore wants a permit on your breathing pipe so you don't suck in too much oxygen. Amen. Crazy. Crazy. I don't get off on that. But it'll be a hands-on job. And a lot of you have already come to me and to Brother Parsons, and you said, I want to do something. Well, remember, you came to us, because we're coming back to you before it's over with. And we're going to give you that opportunity to put your feet where you already put your mouth. Amen? It'll be a hands-on thing. Now, we've done that in the past, haven't we? The whole hotel was a hands-on thing. Listen, you'd be surprised. Dr. Lee out here knows, and others, how many folks turned that thing down. How many folks said, that's impossible. That cannot be done. And then I remember the city manager saying at the time, after our folks swarmed around that building and began to do all that work, I remember when the city manager said, no contractor in this county could have done what that church has done. And that was right. We've done it. Many of you don't know all of our history. We did a nursing home one time that way. Now, there's a few folks out there. There's even a few folks, believe it or not, older than me. There's a few that was here when I come. Most of them are ladies, and they don't mean to mention it because they don't folks know they're that old. With all joking aside, we do have a handful of folks, just a handful, that was part of that 37 that we had on the first Sunday that we came. Oh, God's been good, hasn't he? But Brother Parsons will set a plan and he'll guide us with it, and we'll have a framework to be followed, and it'll always be a work in progress. In other words, that's what it is. It's about the ministry. Well, the ministry hadn't stopped. The ministry is going to continue on. And while it'll have, perhaps you'll see yourself in it. Where's that thing you were reading from a while ago, Brother Perkins?
I didn't believe you then.
How many of you have already seen this? He's mentioned it this morning and tonight. This is a little schedule of coming events that Brother Parsons was warning you about. But if you look real close at the cover, and you do have to look at it close, you'll see some history right here on the cover. You'll see, first place, you'll see a real good-looking young guy right on the bottom of it there. And he's pointing at the first mission gauge. Our first big mission offering was $1,000, and we made it, and we were so thrilled about that. Look at it now. Last several years, over $500,000 each year. Oh, that's the kind of thing we want to pass on and preserve and tell about and brag on God about. That's what it's about. Then if you were to take this thing and look real close again, and Brother Parsons said the other night, I made a mistake in passing this out so you could look at it. I don't think you got it now, so don't look at it. But if you have it at home, if you look real close, and it's kind of blurry, you'll see the old hotel college building in the back. Then you'll see the church steeple right here. And on top of that platform where we're trying to put up the steeple, you can recognize me, about 40 pounds lighter. And you can see probably my son standing inside of me, Stephen. I'm not sure about the other men up there. I think I could probably guess and be pretty close on it. So what are y'all doing up there? Why didn't you get a crane? We always done things the hard way.
Amen.
Who said amen? Oh, I saw him. That's the truth. Had a fellow quit me one time, Brother Richard. And when he got far enough out of the state, he wasn't afraid to talk to me. He called back and he said, he was criticizing me a little bit. And he said, there was always the right way to do things and the wrong way to do things and your way to do things. And so I was somewhere between right and wrong, but I got it done, amen. And I remember homemade scaffolding up there 40 feet in the air, putting the steeple on, but it's on. Amen. Now, I'll admit, four storms took it off one time. And it done a strange thing. It went up in the air like a rocket, and it turned around. And it came back and stuck the sharp point right over about where the clock is right there. People said, how in God's name could it go up and turn around and come back on the light end? What they didn't know is when we put it up, we tied a rope inside of it. And when it went up, it ran out of rope. And it jerked it back. Well, I'll tell you what's good. We still got the steeple. And it's up there. Those are the kind of things I'd like to put in the museum. I don't know how you'd put that in a museum, but one story after another shows you God's grace. By the way, the second time we put it up, we did pay for a crane. We had learned a little bit. But listen, folks, this is a worthy project. It's not about me. It's not about Brother Parsons. It's about God's goodness and grace to us. Amen. Well, you say, how are you going to do it? Well, we're going to put our hands on it. That's how we've done it in the past. We can still do that. And we can all contribute something one way or the other. Now, Brother Parsons will set a plan. He will guide us. He will lead us in this thing. And he'll probably have some planning meetings with the deacons, and several of us will have some input. But it'll be a work in progress. That means it can change. It can be added on to. It can be a better idea. Something can be improved. And so it'll be a live work. It won't be about just what has been and won't be again, but it'll be what has been. And because of that foundation, we can face the future and know God can do it again.
Amen.
Amen. Be a work in progress. We have a theme song around here. Our staff can tell you about it, especially when they're working out at youth camp. That's it. Brother Richard just said, our theme is, we'll work till Jesus comes. And that's the way I want him to find us. Still doing his work. Amen. Still doing his work. That's what's important. What's it going to cost, preacher? I don't know for sure. When I came in Wednesday night, I didn't know the gauge had been changed. And when I looked over there, I got excited. But then as I got closer, I realized something's not quite right. Then Brother Parsons explained it. He'd made a real wise move. He had cut loose the part that was holding us up. Our original goal was $200,000. That included the renovation that was necessary on the apartment building across the street, which we had renovated somewhat at the very beginning of the hotel. But when the storms hit, it blew the windows out and other things, and we thought every right in the world to go back in there and restore it, but found out now they wanted drawings and engineers and junk, and that was holding up the whole project. So they made a very wise move in cutting the part that was holding us up off. And we believe, now we've brought the figure down, the gauge was $200,000. He's brought it down now to where it looks like it's about $80,000. And I've given to it, and you've given to it, and this first $50,000 it's showing we've all had a part already. Now, we're not going to wait till it hits $80,000 to start. We're going to start with what we got and believe God and trust God to bring it in as it's needed. And it will be needed. I've seen us do that before. We built the youth camp that way. We actually restored the hotel that way. I remember I was working down in the hotel one day, and a man I know real good with the right motive came in, he and his wife, and he came in and he looked at things and he said, I want to talk to you a minute. He said, we want to know your source of where you got the money from. We want to know where'd you, and he meant borrow it. And I looked at him, I said, we hadn't borrowed a penny. He said, what? I said, no, God's people had a mind to work, like Nebuchadnezzar, and they have a mind to give. Do we have it all ahead? No, God's bringing it in as we use it. He couldn't, I mean, he's a good man, love the Lord, but he had a hard time believing that. Listen, when God's people set their mind to do something, they can do it.
Amen.
If they want to do it for God's glory, they can do it. And when we finished that hotel, we hadn't borrowed a dime from nobody. God's grace. God's grace. That's the kind of stuff we want to preserve in a heritage museum. When will we start? Well, as soon as possible. Brother Parson mentioned a date on Wednesday night about going back and maybe doing something on the actual birth of the church. When Brother Edmondson first came here and first got started, And I forget what date he said the other night. Maybe it's November or something. But back in 65, I remember this about it. I knew when he started it. My business was in town. And he'd already been going, I'm guessing, 2-3 years. And 1967 came, and the world news was the Six-Day War in Israel. Oh, listen, fellows that read the Bible got excited back then. Six-Day War. The Jews marched into Jerusalem for the first time since the days of Christ. Actually, 500 years before the Babylonian captivity. They marched in and they had the city back. That was an end time sign, and it still is an end time sign. We saw them on the TV when they went to the Wailing Wall, and Moshe Dayan, the general of Israel, that had the patch over one eye. We saw the camera on him. He heard what he said. We have taken it and we'll never give it up. Amen. They're still trying to make them give it up. Right. But they're not. Amen. The Iranian stuff heating up now to attack with nuclear. All that business is coming. But we got excited in 1967, and Saturday morning, I was out on the job, and a man that I believe was doing plumbing work was on the same job. He came to me. I knew him, but I didn't know him real good. And he said, "Brother Mickey, we don't have a preacher this Sunday. Could you come over and preach for us?" I said, "Well, I'm not a preacher." He said, "Yeah, but you teach Sunday school, and we want you to come and bring the message for us." So the little group that was here on Sunday morning, I said, "Well, I got a young marriage couples class. I got to teach that in the morning." He said, "Could you come after you do it?" I said, "Well, it'll be late." He said, "I'll keep the song service going. You come." I got in the car and, of course, drove the speed limit over here. And had one of the deacons over there come with me. And I walked in and preached my first sermon on this piece of property that morning. I said something they liked because they wanted me to come back that night and preach again. I don't remember much about what I preached on Sunday morning, but I still remember what I preached on Sunday night. I preached out of Ezekiel 38. I had that war coming right then. Hadn't quite got here yet, but it's heating up. The truth of the matter is, I preached at this place two sermons at that particular time. Brother Edmondson was not here then. He had started the church. He'd gone away. The church was hurting. It was falling low. And he came back the second time. And it was that second time that he came back that he had me come and preach a revival meeting. We preached from Monday night through Friday night. When we walked in, and I looked at his little Sunday school board in the back, Sunday school that Sunday had been 22 in Sunday school. We preached every night. Somebody got saved. And I cry about that almost. On Friday night, a couple of men got saved, two or three men, and one of them was the old flagman off the racetrack when I was racing. That was a victory. He was sitting in the back. He came because I was preaching, and he came down the aisle, and you could hear his wife holler all the way from the back, "Glory to God." I was thinking about that as some of you guys were singing about old time way. It was a great time. We had a great revival. 22 in Sunday school, the Sunday before we started the revival. The next Sunday, we had exactly 44. It doubled in a week, souls being saved. Oh, listen, it was good. Brother Edmondson was excited, but within a couple of months, he called me on the phone. He said, "I'm leaving. I'm taking a church up in Tallahassee. The church wants you to come." I said, "No way. No way. I'd be a prophet in my own country down there. I graduated school there. I run from the policeman with my hot rod down there. I done some things I won't even say. And they probably got my fingerprints at City Hall. I'm not coming down there." But God said yes. So it happened. So that's some of the history that we want to put. Some of the heritage that we want to put. I'd like to see whatever we can dig up on Brother Edmondson. The very beginning. Maybe the earliest pictures. I don't know. And try to get everything in there that we can. We'll start as soon as possible. And keep this in mind. Brother Parsons has got his plate full here. I know how full it is. He is doing a wonderful job, but he is not Superman. Sometimes I think he thinks he can be in two places at one time, but he can't. So everything else has to go on. We're not going to drop nothing else just to do this. Everything has to come in its time and in its place. And so it'll be a busy time, but I believe it can happen. We'll have much to do. We'll have a lot still to keep doing. But if we want to bad enough, we can. If we believe it's right enough, we can. So the biggest question, I said, what? It'll be a museum, heritage museum, landmark. Where? In the old hotel? Yes. How? Mostly by work that we do, and our own giving, our own working. When? As soon as we can. And then here's the big question. Why? Why? I think we know why. To the glory of God. Amen. Scripture says, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I believe it's honoring to God to say to the kids coming on, to the visitors that come, this is God's hand. I believe that's the right thing for us to do. For His glory. For His glory. We want to say, why are you going to do it? Well, we want to keep our outreach going on just like it's going. We live in a day and time, I hate to say it, but it is typified by the Church of Laodicea in the book of Revelation. Liberalism has moved in everywhere. It has not moved in here. And we want to keep the old paths the right paths. We're going to stick on the right trail. So this will be our heritage. You're not coming here and look at our museum or anywhere else and see the liberalism that's moved in. I read a magazine this week that used to be, and I guess still is, considered a conservative magazine. But they were making an excuse for why we were wrong to think God was sending Jesus back soon. They're wrong. He is coming back soon. But the biggest question is, why do it? Do it to the glory of God. Keep our outreach going. Stay on the old path. And above all, reach souls. Some of you remember when we had the hard decision to make to take that building to restore it. You could have a reason not to. You could have a reason to. A reason not to and a reason to. I'll tell you what tipped it over the edge with me. I believed at that time, and still do, that we could still use it to reach souls. We could have a ministry with it. Amen. I believe that. And didn't plan it through the years I pastored here. I traveled a little more in the latter years, but in the early years I didn't. I didn't hardly leave. We just stayed here and we done the work. We chopped the wood. We toted, excuse this country phrase here, toted the water. We stayed right around the campfire. We stayed right here. We saw our job was here. We saw what God was doing, and we were just too busy to get involved with a lot of outreaches in other places. And God blessed that. And without us planning it, without us thinking about it, God spread what was going on in Haines City, Florida, at Landmark Baptist Church, almost worldwide. And as the electronic schemes, the phones, and everything else come in, we are now known, not even just nationally, but in foreign countries on the mission field. And that's good in this sense. And more than one time, I've had statements like this get back to me. Well, if Landmark can do it, we're going to do it. If Landmark says that's right, it's right. I'm thankful to God for that kind of influence. I remember a church not too far away got in a new preacher. He preached from a new Bible very quickly after he was there. The people complained, people within radio shot of us. And the preacher said, well, you can't build a church with that old King James Bible. People will not understand it. And I remember the statement. The people said, well, it's strange. Landmark's doing pretty good. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. That's the old past. That's the heritage we want to preserve. And that's what this museum will do for us. It'll help us along that line. But I say everything ought to be based on winning souls. When I first started thinking about this, began to share it with Brother Parsons, and I said, you know what? When we have Anniversary Sunday, the Condons started us off with a soul-winning booth, remember? Still have it every Anniversary Sunday. Even before that, more than one time, where they were having an orange festival or some kind of big carnival, we went and set up a soul-winning booth. And the crowd was there. They'd walk by looking at all everything. And we'd say, hey, would you fill out a questionnaire for us? And they'd stop. A questionnaire didn't mean nothing. What is your name? Where are you from? Blah, 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 blah. And the last question, do you know if you died today, you'd go to heaven? And the next question, would you like to know? You would be surprised how many folks would like to know and how many would come up. And we had a table set up behind the curtain. Well, sit down here and we'll show you. Soul after soul got saved, just like we're still doing it on Anniversary Sunday over here. Amen. Every year. There's no reason in the world we couldn't have a museum. We're going to have college students to help staff it, to help win souls. How come we couldn't have something similar to that organized? And if Joe Brown brings his family to Florida, even if he comes maybe for the wrong reason to go to Disney World, hey, it's going to happen. I don't approve of it, but it's going to happen. Let's not kid ourselves. While they're there, if they're Christians, you know, we could go right on over there to Landmark and walk through the museum. And if they do, an uncle is with them that's lost, that's a chance for them to expose him to the plan of salvation, to the gospel. Folks, it will work. It will work. Quality type soul winning. I'm saying to you, that would be to the glory of God, wouldn't it? That God could take the old building where Al Capone spent the night on his way to Miami and turn it into a soul winning station. That'd be something God might just consider doing. I believe he might do that. We can do this. And like I said a while ago, before they take our driver's license away, we can have something for folks to come and remember some of us old codgers by. Amen? Amen. Say, yeah, that old preacher, he was here. And then this preacher took over and things just kept going. And that's what I want to see. That's what I believe we can see. So I'll say, as Brother Parsons presents the details of what I've touched on tonight, I pray you'll do what the people did when Joshua took over from Moses. They did all that they were commanded. Read it there. We just read the text a while ago. So we're not arriving and quitting. We're continuing on. Amen. And let's keep that in mind. I want to say to you tonight, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, get in on what God is doing. Everything, this property, these buildings, these ministries, these schools, the college, the radio station, all of that has one bottom line: to reach souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Could it be that you're even in our building tonight and you're not saved? We'd like to tell you, you can be saved. You might have walked in lost on your way to hell, but you can walk out saved on your way to heaven. We're going to have just a short invitation, and you could come forward and somebody will pray with you and show you from the Bible how you can know for sure if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed. Ask Brother Bert to come and lead us in an invitation song. And if you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be part of the heritage of God's plan and what God's been doing. You're in a good place to get saved. We've seen a lot of people here through the years get saved, but God still wants to see more. He wants us to keep on keeping on. Amen. Father, we thank you. Father, we pray tonight you'd bless a short invitation. If somebody's here lost, that they would come, even tonight. Father, my mind cannot go back and hardly imagine the time and the victories and the grace, the miracles that you've given us through the years. But I thank you for them. Father, I know they're recorded in heaven. Father, we want to record some down here and use it for your glory. Help us to do it. Bless it, Father, that the funds would come in, the plans would be. And Father, we know the devil will attack it, but Father, we plead the blood of Jesus against him and ask for this victory. May you bless it to happen. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're not saved, you can come tonight and receive Christ.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I free.
Good time to come, good time to be saved.
I will ever
maybe you want to come and pray about it. We joke a little bit when something like this, some project has been laid out, we say, hey, that sounds like a lot of work. Well, it will be. But for the right reason and the right cause. I want to be a part of it. I hope you do too. Pray for Brother Parsons and the Deacon Board and everybody that will have part in planning this and getting it off the ground. Plead the blood of Jesus against the devil that would love to mess it up. Thank you for coming tonight. Now, if you're listening out Radio Land, we hope you got it right and you won't go spread it wrong. I've always told the gospelers, please get it right. If you get it right, that'll be to the glory of God. An old preacher friend of mine years ago, if I called his name, you'd know he was a card. He said, I don't care what they're saying about me as long as they're talking about me. Well, I don't know if that's good, but anyway, what he's saying was God's going to make good out of it anyhow. And he did. All right, if you're visiting with us tonight, we're glad to have you and appreciate you coming. And I told Brother Perkins, cut the announcements because I knew I couldn't cut the message. Amen. All right, God bless you. You're dismissed.